A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. Because old ideas aren't cutting it anymore. This new year, we need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's still ours to win. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
Okay. Normally, we would have a trailer playing at the beginning of this.
Yes. But
this 6-hour
odyssey,
torturous miniseries doesn't deserve even an ounce of promotion.
You
and
know what?
I don't even want to deal with YouTube's possible copyright claims. I want everybody to know how much I absolutely loathe this fucking movie. So let's get it out of the way. Hashtag, ugh, this fucking movie.
This fucking movie. Holy. Oh, God. We
Ladies
also
and gentlemen, welcome into that movie show. Mike Went, not Liam Stryker anymore. You can tell by the beard has disappeared.
Yeah, it
did. Mike Went and Eddie McCabe.
Yeah,
and we are because Dr. Sleep came out. We decided it would be way too easy to do a review of Stanley Kubrick's masterpiece film, The Shining. So instead, we spent 6 hours each. With commercials, with original commercials, watching the 1997 miniseries written by the man who simply loves himself and his words, Stephen King.
Yes.
This is The Shining. Go ahead, Eddie. I know you want to say something.
We watched it on archive.org because it needed to be archived. We needed to preserve this for everyone for generations to come. But the original commercials that you talked about were all from a New Hampshire radio station, which I did think was very funny.
It was funny. It was kind of local.
It was like, oh, there's gang violence in Manchester. And it's like, guess what? It's 20 years later and there's still gang violence in Manchester.
Rock 101, WGIR, Manchester, New Hampshire.
But there were a bunch of movies that were trailered during the miniseries. And every single one of them was a movie I would have rather have been watching.
The first one was Con Air, which we did. It's in the archives, thatmovieshow.net. Yep. You know, they had Con Air, Austin Powers.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump was a big one.
Because it was going to be the TV. It was going to be the TV premiere.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that was 94.
Yeah.
This was years later. So that was a TV release, of course. Speed 2 Cruise Control, which I had completely purged the fact that Willem Dafoe was fucking villain.
I know. But every single one of those movies, because, I have a bunch of problems.
Rush Hour hits the high seas.
No, it doesn't. Lethal Weapon 3?
Lethal Weapon 3. LL Cool J doing Gap ads.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah, when he clearly thought that his rap career was going to live forever. That's the only way to describe that.
Fall into the gap.
Yeah. You tell him. Mama's going to knock you out, LL. Mama's going to knock you out. So we did this on purpose because everybody's seen Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. And
it literally is a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece. It is AFI's top 100 movies of all time. It's everything. And I wanted to know why Stephen King is so mad that somebody else has the definitive representation of his work. Because basically, this miniseries to me screams as a petulant child that was mad that somebody else got more recognition with their toys.
Exactly. It's one of those things. Stephen King definitely, as you put it off air, fell in love with his own words.
Yeah.
And because of that, while sitting through Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, was first of all upset that he changed so much of it.
Right.
But I feel in retrospect, Stephen King has come to really despise the Stanley Kubrick version of The Shining because of how much people love that version of The Shining.
Right.
Like he's pissed at people who are like, oh yeah, the hedge maze, way better than weird coming alive topiary animals.
Kinda.
An axe, way better than a croquet mallet.
Denver croquet.
Which it's I bigger. Completely couldn't figure out that word while I was live tweeting it and kept calling it a polo mallet. Yeah. But
yes.
A Denver croquet mallet. Really? Yeah. The whole for the movie fans, the Here's Johnny scene where he busts through the bathroom door when he like opens up a package of single blade razors and is like kind of like trying to like
gently
slice his hand while he's swinging a croquet mallet. Nothing about this is violent.
Right. Right. There's that. And there's also the like he peers through and, you know, everybody knows, especially at that point, because the Kubrick version had already existed and it's not Here's Johnny. And it's like ding dong. Boo.
Boo.
It's like, oh, well, that's bad.
Well done. Well done. You lose.
Yeah. The other part of this is like the best way to describe it is Stanley Kubrick's version gets to the fucking, right? Like,
yes,
it does. Like that's what happens is like that movie is tight and you get all of the subtext of everything that's going on
while still being over 2 hours long.
Right. But it gets it's to
tight
the
too.
Right. It gets to it. And you watch the first episode of this
first two and change.
And it's literally 2 hours of them just getting a tour of the hotel. Nothing happens.
Meandering about.
Right. And it's like, this is why Stephen King, like you're wrong. Right. Yes. Because in Stanley Kubrick's version, a lot of the stuff is cut. That's unnecessary. Put into other parts so that, yeah, we still get the exposition that, like, you know, Jack Torrance is abusive when he drinks. He's an alcoholic and he broke Danny's arm. But we don't need this, like, insane flashback where, you know, we, like, have the entire incident, you know, because, yeah, that's a book. It also is way more prevalent.
Including like a whole AA meeting.
Right.
And we're going to have a whole bunch of like sponsor interactions.
Right.
We get it. He's a drunk.
Yeah. And he beat up a kid.
He's but a drunk and he smacked his kid around. Oh my God. This isn't like a revolutionary tale.
Yeah.
Move along.
The fact that you wouldn't let it go, like clearly like take your medicine was like
an important. My God. Okay. So thank you for that. Because I am going to do a Movies with Mike bonus episode on Dr. Sleep. And that was one of the revelations that they brought over. That if you haven't seen the miniseries or read the book, you wouldn't really, it wouldn't land with you. It would make sense. Take your medicine would make sense. But holy shit, Stephen King's writing is so fucking repetitive. It beats you over the head. It's like, take your medicine. He said take your medicine, I think, in the 6+ hours, maybe 52 times.
Yeah.
Maybe 52 times.
Yeah.
Doc was said 1,072 times, I'm guessing.
Yeah. They called the kid Doc.
Even though in the movie, they called him it 3 times. And the second time they called him Doc was like at the fucking hour 52 mark.
Yeah, weird. It was very weird. And then
pup.
Yeah, pup. Whelp.
That was a little pup.
Yeah, it was like the description of Danny, like it was just so frustrating. Like,
also, the Overlook looked like a fucking Motel 6 in the miniseries.
Yeah, it did.
It looked like shit.
It looked like a five-star hotel.
Drab, yeah. Nothing, boring-ass hotel. Kubrick made that shit pop.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is it's like, it's the same story. And I saw it I saw a 2-hour condensed version and got everything I needed. And I didn't need the other parts that made it, you know,
triple the length. I had to watch the movie, the Kubrick movie, after the 6-hour miniseries, just as a palate cleanser. Cause I'm like, I need to wash this from my taste.
It also shows you the difference because Kubrick is a genius and one of the best filmmakers of all time. Right.
And Stephen King just writes long books.
But you can tell that Stephen King doesn't understand the medium of film because at the end of the film, when Wendy is confronting Jack, and he's going to beat her with the croquet mallet right before Melvin Van Peebles shows up.
I love Sweet Pick. He was like, him and 90s Rebecca De Mornay were like my saving grace for this whole fucking movie.
Right.
But we'll get to that in a minute.
But so, like, there is so much time where the two of them are talking, but Jack just has the Denver croquet mallet like he's about to strike over his head, but isn't doing it. And like, yeah, in a book, you're going to have these type of conversations and internal monologue, and you don't see the fact that they're just standing there for an awkward amount of time.
Because the books are very descriptive. That's the point of a book.
Right.
If you're reading it, you're reading all of their inner emotions as you read it. So you don't, it's not as awkward as, oh, holy shit, there's a guy who's standing over a woman with a fucking hammer waiting to pounce on her. But we need to explain what each person is thinking in the next 20 minutes of this fucking teleplay.
And that's exactly what's happening. And it's like, that's bad. Right.
This was on ABC. This is broadcast television, by the way. Right. This wasn't like on the fucking Spike Network for guys. You know, it wasn't even a thing. It wasn't a thing in 90. Well, it was close to a thing in 97. It was almost a thing in 97.
It was still TNN.
It was TNN. We were getting close. We had dumped ECW, gone into the Attitude Era. But.
Right. Yeah. And you watch it.
Nauseating.
Right, and because you're looking at it. It was
long and drawn out and nauseating for no fucking reason. Like, we kept texting each other. Nothing's happening.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Fucking movie, nothing happens.
The biggest jump scare was when, what's his name? The guy that lives in his imaginary friend there.
You mean bootleg Matthew Modine, Tony?
Tony. Because which
Matthew Modine from Full Metal Jacket, but it's like his stunt double because it's a made for TV shitplex.
Yeah, the worst part about that had to have been the fact that the reveal at the end was that Tony was just teenage. It was teenage Doc the whole time.
Jesus, I was way too drunk at the end of the movie to figure that out. Was that actually the same person?
Oh, no.
Was that the same actor?
Yeah, it was the same actor.
I was way too drunk at the end of the movie to figure that one out. Was high school graduating Doc or Danny was actually the same actor that played Tony throughout the movie?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was just more concerned that Rebecca De Mornay hadn't aged and Sweetback was still alive at that fucking point.
Oh, yeah. After being bludgeoned with
being 80.
Yeah, right.
And here's 20 years later, and he's just still kicking with his fucking pimp hat and shit.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is how old is Danny supposed to be that they were like, they just took this kid out of school to, like, live in an abandoned hotel for the winter?
Look, that's a nitpick that I've had with the original movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. All things considered, being a caretaker of one of these fucking luxury hotels seems like a pretty sweet job.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie. Like the movie, the miniseries aside, I would love to do whatever the fuck they're doing because it seems like a hoot. Now, granted, the miniseries, the movie makes it seem a lot more easy.
Yeah.
Because they don't get into all the book shit of like the half an hour we spend on fucking boilers.
Right.
And well, how this old boiler hasn't been replaced. So you're going to have to come down every single night and release the damper. Also, literally day two, Jack is on the roof fixing a gaping fucking hole in the roof. Like, yeah. He's not a carpenter. He's not a roofer guy, a roofer.
Yeah.
He's a writer, a playwright at that.
Yeah, he's a disgraced teacher.
And he's up there fixing a fucking, not even like, oh, some shingles fell off, we got to clear them off. No. A gaping fucking hole as if a cannonball dropped through it.
Right.
And that doesn't seem like it would be his job on day two while it's still light out.
That also doesn't feel like a caretaker's job that we're going to do, you know, like before we close up for the winter. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know what a caretaker's job of one of these hotels is, but like even Rebecca De Mornay washing windows, I was like, really? Like, yeah. I'm so not doing that shit. Like, I'm making sure this motherfucker doesn't burn down, but that's about it.
Yeah, even though it doesn't end. Nobody's going to be here until the spring. So I'm not going to wash the windows until the spring. Yeah.
Why am I keeping this bitch up pretty?
Yeah.
They didn't even leave me booze in the bar, for Christ's sakes.
It's like, I'm just going to clean it at the spring as opposed to before the winter.
Yeah, it's like if you need something to do, I get it. It gets boring. I understand boredom. And okay, cool, whatever. You know, you take an afternoon and wash some windows because it occupies your time while your kid is out there playing with alive topiary animals.
Well, that's like, the other thing too, is what is Wendy doing the entire time that nobody knows where this kid is? Because if Jack's supposed to be caretaking, right? Wendy,
we don't know exactly what caretaking is.
But it's like, what are you doing? Isn't your one job to watch your kid that's somewhere between 3 and 8?
Look, again, late 90s Rebecca De Mornay can do whatever she wants.
Sure.
It was, again, I it was one of my live tweets. I forget where it was here. Here it is. Okay. So I'm just going to read what my conscience was streaming at that moment.
Oh, geez.
And this was before, because this was still part one. This was when I was still having coffee and breakfast.
Okay. Oh,
I hadn't started drinking at this point. But I was like, look, I can understand getting pissy with Shelley Duvall, interrupting you while writing just to ask about sandwiches. But 90s Rebecca De Mornay offering you quote unquote room service made for TV Jack Torrance must be insane.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was. Look, Shelley Duvall showed up in this scene in a full on buttoned up handmaiden tail turtleneck to the chin.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, the news says it's going to be cold out tomorrow. And Jack had the appropriate response. Well, what the fuck do you want me to do about it?
Yeah, right.
Get the fuck out of here. Okay, maybe I'll get you a sandwich. Cut to the miniseries, and it's late 90s Rebecca De Mornay in a damn near see-through nightie.
Yeah, right.
Ding the bell saying, hey, Jack, come upstairs and let's have some room service.
Yeah, let's go.
You kind of have to be a dick to not go with that one.
You're right.
You can get back to your fucking ghost stories afterwards.
Yeah, the whole thing is just so bad. And then, like, they don't even do a good job of, like, executing the ghosts. Like, the fact that they don't, like, go into the manager and the manager, like, telling him what he needs to do, like, isn't even clear. The fact that, like, he smashed the CB radio and then just forgot, like, and like, I get it. The ghosts. The Ghost Made
for fucking ludicrous. I haven't read the book, but so, based off the miniseries, which was written by Stephen King based off of his book, like he literally was like, fuck this. It's a teleplay by Stephen King. This is all me. The book seems ludicrous. Like it seems like a bore.
Oh yeah.
Like it's again, like I've tried through my life. I've tried to read Stephen King books. I've never completed one. The closest I got, I think, was I was like 13, 14 years old. My family had a month in Chatham on Cape Cod, and I think I got about halfway, maybe just a little bit less than halfway through it.
Okay.
Closest I've got. They're long. They're arduous. They are fucking, like, the audiobooks are 42 hours long.
Oh. Which, why aren't audiobooks on Spotify?
What's that?
Audiobooks should be on Spotify.
They should.
I might give it a go.
They really should. But it's like, and he's like, and to put a 6-hour miniseries based off of this book when there's already a perfectly acceptable movie existing, like, I get it. Okay, so you do like the It miniseries that was like what, 4 hours tops, maybe
something like that,
a little bit less. Langoliers was around
a couple of days,
three hours, three and a half. They're mostly like two parts. 6 motherfucking hours.
You tried to make Yeah, you tried to make this your magnum opus and failed miserably.
You made it your magnum dong. It sucked dick.
Yeah,
you
it did.
Suck dick. Like, I don't like Stephen King anymore. Like, I'm turned off. Like, it was hard for me to sit in fucking Dr. Sleep and watch it. I like Dr. Sleep. It's a good movie. I suggest go and check it out. But I'm sitting there like, motherfuck Stephen King. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad they, like, Dr. Sleep dipped into the Kubrick Shining mythology and made it more that than the actual Stephen King mythology, even though it followed both. But it was like, fuck him.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Like, fuck him.
Like, yeah.
Great. You wrote books that became really good movies. Well, but just because you don't like the movie or you don't like the interpretation of the movie doesn't give you a right. I guess it does, but it doesn't give you the right to fucking take up 3 fucking days and 6 fucking hours of broadcast television, you prick.
Well, it's like, no, you can do that.
By the way,
yeah, you can do that. You can call your shot and you can do it, but it's got to be good.
But don't act like you hit a home run when you fucking struck out looking.
Oh, yeah. I think, what was it? The Wire? Was The Wire that said, if you come at the king, you best not miss. You know what I mean? And that's what happened is you're so mad. You're so mad about all of it, right? You're mad that everybody likes the Kubrick version. You're mad that everybody changed the Kubrick, like the Kubrick changed your version of the movie.
Every major change that Kubrick made.
Made it better.
Was completely better.
Yes.
Their topiary animals sucked.
Yeah.
They sucked.
And like,
nobody dies in this book. So killing Halloran made fucking sense. Even though that poor bastard spent the entire fucking day flying from Miami, gets to Colorado, rents a car, drives 5 fucking hours to his buddy's shop, gets a snowcat, drives 2 more fucking hours to the Overlook, opens the door, axe to the chest.
Right.
You're dead. Way to go. You should have stayed at home in bed with your naked fucking pictures and just psychic FaceTime with Danny. It would have been a hell of a lot fucking smarter. But that's just me.
Oh fuck.
See that?
Yeah.
The ghost of Dice is coming out here.
Oh,
this
no,
is what's
like
gonna happen to this fucking episode. He's gonna come here and be like, the ghost, the naked broad in the fucking bedroom? Really? Okay, maybe you wanna rot your fucking back on my balls, bitch.
Yeah.
All right.
That was also terrible. Like everything.
It's gonna get a 5-star rating on iTunes.
Of course it is. Everything that was heightened in this movie, they immediately cut the legs out from under, right? Because like Danny goes into the room 217, not 237.
I mean, that's negligible at best because whichever side you believe, it was 217 in the book.
Sure,
people have said that the hotel it was filmed in didn't want 217 being a thing, so they made it 237. But then if you watch that psychopathic documentary, Room 237, they say, right. Well, there was never a room that 217 in that hotel to begin with. And 237 has something to do with the moon landing. Sure, whatever.
Story for a different day.
Yes, definitely. I deep dived into The Shining all fucking week. I am gone insane.
The point is that Danny goes into that room. Then he ends up getting attacked by the ghost of the woman in the bathtub. And then
Sexy woman.
Yeah. And then Jack comes in and doesn't believe it, but then sees the wet footprint, right? And so now...
Sexy time.
Well, he didn't get any in that one. He didn't get any in the miniseries.
Not in the TV movie. He got pissed scared and dropped his fucking mallet.
Like yeah, right. Asshole. But then he like, oh my God, my son is right, and is like on Danny's side. And then again, without any actual provocation, the hotel just like magically makes him like, oh, that didn't happen. I didn't see that. And it's like, that's stupid.
Right.
Like, that's so dumb. Like, if you were going like, you know, Stephen King, I'm going to tell you how to rewrite your teleplay from the book you wrote.
Look, we spend enough time with it. We can.
Yeah, the manager,
and it was bad, so we have every right to.
Like, the manager needed to be more prevalent in the beginning of the movie because he's not prevalent until the end.
Well, the funny thing was that, like, again, what Kubrick did well was condense parts.
Yes.
So in the miniseries, which we're talking about today, there was the cowboy guy, the bigger cowboy guy that brings him in the boiler, takes him through the whole tour of the house. And then there was Elliot Gould.
Right. Yes.
Who was just like the asshole owner.
Yeah. When I say the manager.
But that was one character in the movie. It was right. All one guy.
Yes.
And then like the condensing of the, again, condensing characters.
There was no need when they're
giving the tour of the Overlook in the beginning for Sweetback to fucking divert off with the kid and have the parents go off with the manager, because in the movie it was just fucking Halloran taking them around the hotel. That way he expedited the
everything.
Shine. With Danny, it was like, we're taking you on the tour. All of a sudden, he just looks over, does the little Shining thing with Danny, and we're moving along. We don't need an extra fucking scene that takes 20 more fucking minutes and two commercial breaks just to say, hey, these two motherfuckers talk psychopathically together.
And he blew up the back of his car.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm convinced Melvin Van Peebles signed up for this movie because of the suits.
You know, he signed up for it because he was like, ooh, I could make that Jack Nicholson money.
You think?
Yeah, because, you know, like, I would assume that he was approached being like, look, we're going to make the TV version of it. There was so much left off, you know, from the Kubrick. He changed so much, and it was so different, and, you know, it's way scarier. And you have
the smallest role possible.
Yeah. But...
We haven't even really... brought it up. We've promoted this for about 2 weeks that we were going to do this miniseries. So I guess we got to get it out of the way because it just popped in my head. Anthony Michael Hall isn't in this movie.
No, he's not.
I based that off of, I said it like 2 weeks ago. You said it last week. I'm guessing based off of me saying it.
Yeah.
And it was because the poster, if you Google the 1997 Shining miniseries, it looks like Anthony Michael Hall.
It does.
And it's not. It's Steven Weber. He's in... Anthony Michael Hall is not in this.
He's in the dead zone.
he is in the TV Dead Zone, which I haven't seen, and I'm a little afraid after this to watch.
Yes.
Because I mean, Christopher Walken's version was great again, so I'm a little afraid to be like, oh, do I want 47 more hours of that?
Yeah, right. 100%.
With the kid from Vacation?
This kid, so the kid that I knew that was in this was from Little Rascals.
Wait, you actually knew somebody in this movie?
Yes, the that we Danny. Watched. Danny.
You know the kid that played Danny.
Well, not like I knew who he was.
But well, you've said you know actors before, so I
I don't know him. I just recognized him.
So from cartoon something. Napoleon Dynamite there.
Yeah. The fact that that kid could not close his mouth for the entirety of that movie made me want to knock his teeth down his throat.
Like, I mean, he's a child. That was like the one thing I was like, I have to try really hard to not make fun of this fucking kid's cleft fucking palate there.
I know.
But it's like,
it was bad.
It was so enraging.
Yeah, it just, like, but again, it just, this kid is way older than they wrote for him. You know what I mean? Like, that was part of the problem.
Done stuff, though. Like, that kid's been in shit.
I've seen
his stupid mouth before.
Yeah, he's in The Little Rascals.
I mean, that's not my demo.
Yeah, I know.
He's done stuff like weird shit that I've seen.
Yes,
he might have been fucked in the Serbian film. I don't know.
But I'll IMDb fucked him. In the Serbian film. Oh god. Oh god. That fucking movie. You know what?
Look, if we hadn't done this,
we would have done a Serbian film. This,
that would have been our Christmas watch along.
Oh god. Oh god. No. Oh god. Now I'm reliving that movie in my head, and now I have the TV Shining and a Serbian film having some sort of weird DJ Khaled remix.
Yeah. I watched the Serbian film on the Blue Line for 2 days in a row with people sitting around me. I'm just that kind of a dick.
God.
Okay, who's Danny? Let's see here. I got the IMDb. Yeah, I'm also just realizing that we didn't do the business, but I don't really give a shit because this movie doesn't deserve fuck all.
It's also a TV series, so it doesn't really totally mesh.
I'm mildly curious how. Oh my god, he was credited as Daniel Anthony Torrance.
Yeah,
I hate Stephen King.
Yeah, he was.
I hate him. Okay, so yeah, Little Rascals he did. Well, he hasn't worked in years.
Yeah, about 9 of them.
Literally. Literally. Did a couple episodes of NYPD Blue, an episode of ER.
Yeah.
He played the boy in Go. That's probably where I recognize him from.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of that movie from 99, Go.
Okay. Yeah, see, I know him from all the kids stuff, Recess.
He did a voice on A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
He was in the Rugrats TV movie. Biggest job was what looks like Nightmare Ned. He played Ned. I don't know what this Nightmare Ned is, but he did 5 episodes. It's an animated show, I guess.
So, yeah. So the big one would be
Disney animated show, which I'm sure is on Disney Plus, which I've been enjoying. Yeah,
Recess is. He's one of the main characters in Recess, which was a really fun show. And Bird, then
31 episodes. I don't know what his
book is. Lloyd in Space.
Kirk Hartman is no longer a mischievous screw up. Whatever. It looks terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that looks awful. Oh, and he also did 11 episodes of Young and the Restless.
Yep.
So, yeah. I know him from the movie Go.
Yeah, Little Rascals is the one for me.
That's where he played what? I'm guessing Spanky.
No, he played Yaya.
That's terrible.
So he didn't actually say anything. He just, like, said, yeah. That was it.
Well, that's awful.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
Yeah. Stupid.
Life choices, man. Life choices.
Life choices. Life choices. This fucking movie, man.
Get surgery, bitch. I don't know what to say to you.
I don't know what to say to you. Get out of here. Get out of here.
I'm mildly curious to see what this pile of garbage actually did for like viewership and stuff like that.
Go ahead and get the actual stuff. But from what I saw, it was like it actually at the time did very well, but then like went to shit like after.
Mm-hmm. The first part of The Shining garnered 19.8 million viewers, becoming the 12th highest viewed program. Second part also ranked number 12 with the amount of 18.3 million watching. And the third part was 14th most viewed airing, receiving 18.2 million viewers. So, I mean, it just goes to show, if you put a pile of shit on network TV
in the mid 90s,
tens of millions of viewers will watch it in the 90s. Even if it shows poorly Microsoft Paint animated topiaries trying to attack a child.
Yeah, brutal. I'm also pretty sure it won a couple of Emmys.
I bet it won an MTV award for shittiest fucking movie.
Yeah, well, Shining won 2 Primetime Emmy Awards for outstanding makeup and outstanding sound editing for a miniseries or special.
What makeup?
Yeah, the ghost.
Unless they were talking about the contouring of Rebecca De Mornay's tits, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah,
makeup?
Yeah, that's what it won. That's what it won. Steve Weber.
Best booby tassels.
It won 2 Saturn Awards for best single genre television presentation.
That's not a real thing.
And best genre actor, Steve Weber.
Oh, Stephen Weber, poor son of a bitch.
Cortland Mead, the kid who played Danny, was nominated for a Young Artist Award, the best performance in a TV movie, pilot, miniseries.
You're reading a Stephen King fiction book right now. I don't know what you're looking at.
You're right. I am. That's exactly what I am. Hold on. I want to see who he was up against.
You're right. That fucking guy that played Tony was also adult Danny. Holy shit. I just saw that in the credits. A terrible pile of dog shit.
Yeah.
It was awful. Like his weird floating bad wire technique in the opening when he's by the street sign doing the wavy thing.
Yeah.
It was awful. Like you could see him like on tiptoes on the safety fucking thing.
Yeah, it was weird. The whole thing.
He stinks. There was also no Lloyd the bartender.
No.
Grady was the bartender. And there was a lot, like, the miniseries had a shitload more emphasis on alcoholism than the movie. Like, yeah. the movie touched on it and made you understand that, okay, Jack's a drinker. He has a problem with drinking, and when he does drink, he beats the shit out of his kid.
Yes.
But they did it in a very tight manner. This one, he's falling all over himself.
Oh, yes. It's bad.
Like, not having any of the fun Lloyd the bartender type of shit. He's just a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute mess.
He's an absolute mess, and it's weird because they, like, get him drunk without any actual alcohol.
The other thing I've had a problem with, the movie and the miniseries, it's one of those little nitpicky things. When Danny gets fucked up in that room, 237, 217, whichever one, and he comes down, he's got the bruises on his neck and shit.
Yeah.
Wendy has been with Jack for a while.
Oh yeah. The question
and
that I have
immediately accuses him. It's like your kid came from fucking way on the other side of the hotel to you with a fucked up neck and a ripped shirt, and you blame the guy who you've been talking to for the last 45 minutes.
Also, where the hell have you been watching your kid?
I mean, really.
You know what I mean? Like, really? Like, that's part of the problem that I have with this entire thing is, like,
both Wendy Torrance's bad moms.
They're terrible moms. What are you doing this entire time?
At least one's hot.
Yeah, Grease 1's hot. And the other one's Shelley Duvall.
The other one is Shelley Duvall, which I will say about Dr. Sleep, the actress who, because they recast all the Shining characters.
Okay.
The woman who is recast as Wendy does a spot on Shelley Duvall voice. Like, it is uncanny.
That's so funny. Is Shelley Duvall alive?
But she looks like Anna Kendrick, so I was a little conflicted because it was like, well, your voice is Shelley Duvall, but I kind of want to jerk off to you.
Yeah, weird. That's a weird combination.
And now people know that about me.
Yeah. Well, you know, we learn something new every day, you know? That's how okay. This goes. Yeah, I think that that's the TV miniseries Shining.
Oh, you're just trying to wrap this shit up, aren't you?
Because
you don't even want to talk about the topiaries or the fact that the whole ending of the movie is based off some asshole not opening up the damper on a fucking boiler. Like, it's not scary.
Okay, so then let's get into that.
Let's get into it. The fucking topiaries, just the snow melts off them, and that's supposed to be scary. They come at you like bad Sega Genesis fucking video game animals.
So they reminded me of a Doctor Who villain that's very... done very well and done very scary. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the show, you should watch it. It's about a time traveling alien that just has fun through space and time in a phone booth.
It's such bad Doctor Who.
Yeah. So Doctor Who in one of the more recent incarnations had a villain that was called the Weeping Angels. And the concept of the Weeping Angel is when you're staring at it, it is a big stone gothic angel. But as soon as you take your eyes off of it,
gothic asshole.
Yeah, but if you're as soon as you take your eyes off of it, it can move at incredibly fast speeds, right? And so it's actually an alien that's trying to murder you. It is basically what's happening. And so the episode's called Blink. I highly recommend you watch it because it's absolutely, absolutely fantastic. But that's what these topiaries were. Was as long as you were staring at them, they didn't do dick. But then you stopped staring at them and they moved. And it was like...
They moved towards you 6 inches per cut.
Yeah, it was bad.
Edit, they moved 6 inches closer. But they just did dick.
Well, first of all, they didn't do anything. They didn't murder anybody. They didn't, like, actually
nobody
do anything.
Nobody died in the miniseries, by the way.
Yeah, nobody actually died. Except for Jack. Jack died
at the end, but
yeah, which we'll get to in a second. But it was terrible because they didn't murder anybody. They weren't scary and they just didn't do anything. The most they did was they were the cliffhanger for episode 2 because they like started coming at the screen. Like
it sucked.
Yeah, they were awful.
They suck. And if you look up the history of the Kubrick movie, everyone on the production who read the book, that was their least favorite part and the part that everybody wanted to change. Hence, we got the hedge maze.
Which is way better.
Which is way fucking better.
Oh, it's also a way more climactic ending.
and now actually makes Dr. Sleep a hell of a lot fucking better because of the tie-in.
Right.
But yeah, the topiaries sucked.
Yeah, they were awful. They were garbage.
And for him to make it like
that,
that was part of it. You know, that was one of his sticking points.
Right.
Like, how dare they?
Yeah.
I wrote beautiful words about these mutant topiaries. It's like, yeah, dude, it sucked. A. B. While we're filming it in like 1978, it ain't going to fucking work effects wise.
Yeah, right. Again, I've met so many people that are like this from like a filmmaking perspective. And when people fall in love
with themselves.
Well, they fall in love with their footage, right? And it's like, it's usually the person that is on some sort of vanity project where they wrote and they're directing. They're probably also starring in it. And it's like,
So you've worked on a Tarantino film.
I have, you know, but it's, It's just
you've seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I did. I can't wait for the extended cut.
The 6.5 hour cut. That one I can't wait for, actually.
The trick of it is it's actually going to be real-time L.A. traffic in it, is really what the difference is going to be. It's just real-time L.A. traffic.
You can set your GPS to it.
Yeah, that's really it. It's just like, oh, we're locked up on the 10. That's what's happening, man.
With fucking Morris Day and the Time playing.
Yeah, that's it. We're not talking. We're just listening to this music while we're stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic. But when you have somebody that does that sort of like project and they're like, oh, everything that I wrote is so important and it needs to be represented. Whereas like I go in there and I'm just like, no, I don't need this. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh God, that's what this felt like. It felt like it was, I needed to prove to a point.
It didn't feel like that. It's what this was.
Yeah. It was just,
amateur intern psychologist could figure that one out. It's what this shit was. This guy was jerking himself off for six and a half hours.
Yeah, I need to prove to you that I am the master of suspense and horror. And yeah, the boiler only exists for one reason and one reason only, and that's to blow up the hotel and to have Jack redeem himself at the end, which the movie doesn't, right? The Kubrick movie doesn't redeem Jack in any way, shape, or form, because it basically just lets you be like, oh, this guy goes crazy. He tries to murder his family and he dies in the end. Right. And then like, oh, he becomes part of the hotel as like a ghost. Ooh, fun, spooky. Whereas this one was like, oh no. And from what I heard about people that have read the book, it's much more obvious that the hotel is using Jack as a vessel to try and get Danny, right. And so it's like, oh,
and again, it's very much, they blend the two very well in Dr. Sleep. I will say that,
yeah.
they blend the two philosophies very well, right. while it's paying huge homage to the Kubrick version. They also do dive heavily into the book's mythology, but
right.
obviously because the hotel lived and Halloran died in The Shining, the Kubrick one,
right,
we have to take care of that in the sequel.
Yeah, well, from what I heard, they go to the site of the Overlook anyway in the book, even though it's blown up. So
yes, it did.
You know, so like apparently that's irrelevant. So in one version it's standing, in one version it's not. So they're both going to go to the site anyway. And if they're going to go to the site anyway, just have the hotel standing.
It might as well have the hotel.
Yeah, right.
As opposed to just, oh, we're in a parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah, even though,
and it's snowing.
Right. Well, and it's funny because even in the miniseries, they were rebuilding the Overlook anyway. So, like, either way, the hotel was going to be standing.
Well, the miniseries sucks. Let's be honest.
Sucks. But
the
miniseries
fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the whole fucking thing wraps up with this asshole. It's not even like he was actually doing it on purpose. He forgot.
Yeah. Well,
he got possessed, right?
Yeah, he got possessed. So, like, that was the thing, is that he got possessed and the ghosts forgot. He was
possessed by the hotel who
should have known.
Has the fucking boiler. He just flat out forgot.
Yeah,
I forgot my daily caretaker duties and, oh, well.
Well, that's like,
shit's gonna blow up.
It's like that episode of Family Guy. When they were like, when they cut to Stephen King pitching his next book, and he's like, and they're haunted by a scary lamp monster. And it's like, that's 90% of Stephen King
here's Stephen King in a nutshell. You take a writer.
Yeah.
You put him in some menial peril.
Yeah.
And then you add ghosts.
Yes.
And 2,000 pages.
Yes.
Book. Done.
Done. Done. Done. Right.
Writer, peril, ghosts. Fill in the gaps with descriptive bullshit for 2,000 pages. You have yourself a novel.
Yeah, well, of course. Well
done. And he made a career of it, so God bless.
Yeah, yes.
That is, I believe.
That is the show.
That is the 1997 miniseries.
Oh.
The Shining.
Oh, God.
I do not recommend you watch it.
No. Just do me a favor. Next time I suggest something stupid like that, just remind me that I suggested this.
Well, you say that, but it's going to get us out of our poll next week, because I'm making an executive decision because I need something good in my life, and we are doing Orgasmo next week.
Okay.
You and I are sitting down and watching Orgasmo, and we're going to talk about a fun fucking movie.
I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but that movie's fucking hot.
That movie's fucking hot. Yes. Next week, Orgasmo, right here on That Movie Show. By the way, if you've stuck through that entire show, thank you. By the way,
yeah,
and we're wrapping like, up 2 years.
Comment, subscribe.
That's 2 years for us.
That is 2 years.
We wrapped it up with that piece of shit. Last year, we started with a piece of shit, Battlefield Earth, which you can find in the archives, thatmovieshow.net. But this year, we wrapped up our year with a steaming pile of Stephen King shit.
Pile of garbage. So
thank you all for sticking with us for 2 years. And subscribe on any form of podcast under That Movie Show. ThatMovieShow.net is the website. You can find our archives there. We are on Facebook at Facebook.com/ThatMovieShowTV. We also do the video show there. We do the videos on YouTube. You can follow Eddie and myself at Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe, and #ThatMovieShow. We are looking for live watch-alongs for Christmas. So
suggestions.
Send those suggestions in on any form of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, fuck it, wherever you can find us.
Text
if
me.
If you got my number, text me, girl.
Yeah. I also listen to Skywriting, so skywrite it.
Skywriting. I don't know what that is, but it sounds exciting.
It's when one of those planes does the writing in the sky.
Oh, my God. You just have a prop plane over your house. Yeah. Do Santa with Muscles again. It got released on Blu-ray, actually.
Oh, that's fun.
Fucking Mill Creek, you savages, releasing Santa with Muscles on Blu-ray and digital last month. You assholes.
I need it. I'm going to
watch it with my... And didn't send me a media copy, you fucks.
I know. How do I get one? Give me one of those.
Anywho, I think that's all for us, right?
That's it. Let's get out of here.
All right. We'll see you next week with Orgasmo.
Bye, everybody.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. Because old ideas aren't cutting it anymore. This new year, we need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's still ours to win. Start different at GoDaddy.com. A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. Because old ideas aren't cutting it anymore. This new year, we need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's still ours to win. Start different at GoDaddy.com.